Your Bible, let's open up to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians chapter number 6. And you find that place. I'm really looking forward to preaching tonight. And I hope that the Lord will help us. And if he'll help us, it'll be good, won't it? Amen. And listen, and if the Lord don't get on it, it won't be. It won't be nothing of eternal value. We want the Lord to really help us tonight. And today's a few things the Lord's just been doing for us. I hope it'll encourage your heart. Notice the Bible, Ephesians chapter number 6, familiar scripture. And you think sometimes I've got a book at home and I've not got to read in it much, but I'll give it to you if you ever want to read in it. It's a book by William Gurnall. It's on the Christian and Complete Armor. It's a wonderful book. He writes about 700 pages on these six verses. And so there's a mountain of wealth to be mined out of this little text, and we'll not never get it all out. I'll assure you of that. Bible says this, beginning in verse number 10, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Notice verse 14, he said, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The Bible says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, you know our heart tonight. Lord, we're sure enough looking forward to being in the house of God. And God, I'm looking forward to this time. Particularly, Lord, I'd ask you tonight. I thank you for every good song that we heard. God, I thank you for the testimonies that came out. God, I'm just thanking you, Lord, today. And that, God, that as we reflected on this year, and God, there have been some low spots. And God, there have been some valleys. But God, I want to thank you, Lord. It's also been some of the highest mountains that I've ever gotten to look off of in my life. And God, I'm so grateful tonight. And that, God, that whether I sit a low spot, and God, or in a high spot, and the one thing that remained the same, that was that you are my God, and I'm glad you're forever the same. I pray for a few minutes of time. And God, you'd anoint the scripture. Help us, Lord, tonight to preach and the apparent demonstration of the Spirit of God. Father, we sure love you tonight. And we bless your high and holy name. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm noticing here in this text, and you find in verse number 11, he says that you may be able. You find on down there a few verses in verse 13. He said that you may be able. And then you find on down in verse number 16. He said, "Ye shall be able." And boy, I thank God that at some point in time, that thing changed from "you may be" to "you shall be." I got to notice in this, the Bible said, he said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then in verse 14, he says again, he said, "Stand therefore." And boy, I got to thinking about this. I mean, listen, we understand that this is spiritual warfare. And so first thing I thought about is we ought not be surprised when trouble comes our way. I mean, listen, thank God for it. And you are not welcomed here. You're an enemy if you're saved. And you are not of the world, brother. I thank God we might be in it, but we ain't of it. Amen. And so we understand, and we ought not be surprised. But then I thought about this. He said, "Well, thank God to stand." That means we ought not be slouched over. I mean, thank God, listen, everything might be flying over us, but I'm glad we don't have to slouch down. Amen. I'm glad we can stand flat-footed up and
no, thank God, if God's for us, who can be against us? But then I thought about the last thing. And not only is it should not be a surprise, and we shouldn't slouch down, but I thought also it's no point for surrender. He said, having done all to stand. I mean, not every day are we advancing. Amen. I like to advance, thank God. I like to reclaim some lost ground. But sometimes it's all you can do, friend. And just a saying, amen. I got to reflecting back and as a praying over what God had done for us this year. I mean, for some time, been just thinking about it. And I understand this morning, or this evening rather, that there's folks in this church that 2025 will go down on record as the worst year of your life. And these other folks in this church that 2025 will go down as the best year on record in your life. And then there's ever the rest of us that's somewhere in between that thing. And man, I got to thinking about this, and I was looking back, and I seemed like there's just been a lot of battles this year. Maybe even in my own mind. But I didn't have to go back too far. I just made me a little pit stop around June the 3rd one night. And I thought right there, the Lord saved 12. That was a pretty good day. Amen. That'd been a pretty good year, thank God, I'd say. I don't know if you know this or not tonight. And I think maybe the last time I preached like this, I didn't say it, but the Lord gave me liberty to say it. And this week, y'all understand that throughout the year, every time I stand and maybe I preach or whatever, I understand you don't remember every message. I don't expect you to. But I do hope that somewhere that the Holy Ghost will take something and draw you closer to Himself. I want to say this. And so throughout the year, I'll say this phrase over and over. I'll say, man, this is my favorite scripture. And then the next week, I'll say some other scripture. And I'll say, that's my favorite scripture. And 2 or 3 weeks later, I'll say, that's my favorite scripture. And listen, and I don't know if you know this or not. I don't even think I said it last time. But every time I say that, Kelsey makes a little note. And somewhere in her little note, she puts down this Bible verse right here. And every year for the last 3 years on Pastor Appreciation, she hands me a little card, and it's got all my favorite Bible verses on it. And I got to thinking about why it is that we're able to stand the way we are. And the reason is, friend, is because of what we're standing on. Amen. And thank God, listen, I'm glad I'm not standing on sinking sand. I'm not standing on shifting sand. I'm glad I'm standing on something that will stand the test of time. And so tonight I'm going to preach on it. And maybe part number 3 of my favorite verses. Amen. And the first one's this right here. It's Habakkuk. That's a good one. Amen. That'll roll off the tongue. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. You got to understand the context. And chapter number 2, Habakkuk's having a hard time. And he said, oh Lord, he said, revive thy work in the midst of years. He said, Lord, he said, in wrath, remember mercy. And then the very first 2 words in verse number 3 says, God came. Amen. And boy, I don't know, every time I read that, every time I get to that passage, Brother Terry, it just jumps up in my heart. And I say, thank God, thank God. And Brother Tanner, you know what the difference between being low and being high is? It's whether or not the Lord shows up. Amen. And so thank God I thought about, I'm sure glad we can stand on His presence. It has stood the test of time. I have found this to be true, friend. And maybe not just all the time when I want Him to show up, but every time when I need Him to show up, I have found Him to be a faithful friend. I've found Him that everything that the Bible says He is, I have found Him to be that and then some. Amen. I want to say this, and I'm not trying to do the writers no disjustice, but listen, as good as David could write, as good as Solomon could write, as good as Isaiah could write, experiencing it is better than anything they've ever wrote down. Amen. And so when they say God is our strength and our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble, boy, that gets real when you're in that place. Amen. I'm glad we can stand on the presence of God. And you know what the difference makes in a church house, in the singing, in the preaching, and anything that'll happen in this church? And you know what really makes the difference? And whether or not God comes. Amen. I mean, that's really it. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it. But we can all assemble here in the very same way. And Brother Ipok, every single time. And we can go through some motions if that's what we want to do. And we can sing a few songs. And we can have a little sermonette or whatever the case may be. But I'm telling you, when it gets good, it's when the Lord shows up. And God gets to helping us. Amen. And listen, it's not always the same. I understand, thank God. It ain't always got to be up here for God to be in it. Amen. It ain't always got to be running the aisles. And for me to say that was a good service. But boy, I do like it when the Holy Ghost comes by my way and says something to my heart about where I'm at. Amen. Oh, listen, you can't do that. Hey, you can't do that. Thank God. It only takes God. Amen. And listen, let me say this to you. I won't be able to spend too much time. This will just be a little bit here and there. And you know how that sort of goes. And just so then I thought, His presence stands the test of time. But I thought about this, His preeminence, that stands the test of time. A Song of Solomon 5:10. And my beloved is white and ruddy. He's the chiefest among 10,000. Amen. Hallelujah. That may not help you none. It helps me a bunch. Amen. I'm glad tonight we come in the house of God. And the one thing that'll always remain the same. He said before the heavens were ever brought forth, and from everlasting and to everlasting. And yes, in other words, in layman's terms, as far as you can go that way, and to as far as you can go that way. And the Bible says, thou art God. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, He's not just a little God. He's a great big one. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, friend. I like that. I believe every time the old Song of Solomon, he said He's the chief among 10,000. I ain't going to try to re-preach a message, but it does make me happy. I mean, friend, you see 10,000 people, and the Song of Solomon said, man, everywhere you look, he said, there's 9,999. He said, but when you see Christ, He towers above everybody. I mean, that's the one who has to have the preeminence in the house of God. If He's not the main thing, friend, then there ain't nothing else worth doing. Amen. I mean, that's the whole reason we come. It's that the songs edify Christ. It's that the preaching ought to edify Christ. And this is not, thank God. And listen, this ain't a social club. And this ain't a counseling session. This is a church. Amen. And irregardless of what happens in our life, and we ought to be able to worship God. Amen. And so I'm glad, thank God. I'm glad there's the preeminence of Christ. And so it stands the test of time. And this is another one of my favorites right here. There's several of them, so just hang on a minute. And the last time I preached it, I told you how many there was. And I seen about half the church check out. That's why I ain't telling you this time. Amen. And you just know there's somewhere between 1 and 100 points. Amen. Thank God. Listen, here's what the Bible says in Matthew 17. He said, and after 6 days, and Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He said, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter unto Jesus, and he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He said, if thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, and behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, and this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm glad, thank God, God's still pleased with His Son. And that stood the test of time. I mean, friend, listen, He may not always be pleased with my actions. But there ain't never been a time He ain't been pleased with the Lord's. He does all things well. And thank God the Bible says, never a man spake like that. He went about doing good. I mean, as far as you find Christ, He's always doing what's right. Amen. And so they get up here on that mountain. Amen. Listen, I love that other chapter of it. And when he says that all of a sudden they fell asleep. And it said when they came to, and they saw no man save, and Jesus only. Amen. I'm glad, friend, listen. If we'll ever be pleasing to Christ, it'll be because Christ, our God, the heaven sees Christ, and He does not see us. You've never done something in and of yourself that's been real good to God. Amen. But oh, in Christ, ain't that good? I'm I'm glad that stood the test of time. We come in the house of God, and the very fact that Christ today is still pleasing the Father is the only reason we have much joy tonight. And I'm glad, friend, listen, I'm glad there's still grace and mercy, and there's still the blood of Calvary. It's still a good place to be. And listen, I'll promise you that God is still well pleased with His Son. Amen. And so I thought, thank God, that's a good one. I thought about this right here. This is a pretty good one right here. And most of you know it, 1 Timothy 2:5-6. And for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And He is the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Amen. That'll be testified of in due time. I'm glad for this. This has stood the test. That verse right there still stands the test of time. It don't matter if it's 2025, and 1925, at 30, 25, at 10,000 years from now, and there is still just one mediator between God and man. It is the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, listen to me, friend. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know how you're trying to get in. I'm persuaded. I was watching a fellow the other day, and this is what he said. He said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I need to figure out these things of the Lord. And so he went to a witch doctor to try to figure it out. I thought, this don't even make sense. Amen. But listen, friend, I'm telling you, it's the same way in America. We're Christian in our speech. We're Christian in our attitude. But it is not the Christian of this Bible, amen. It don't match up, thank God. If you're going to get to heaven, you will not get to heaven any other way but through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That's right. That's why I like that verse pretty good. That sort of sums that whole thing up. I'm not going to heaven through the Pope, amen. Thank God nobody else is either, amen. You ain't going to heaven through the church, amen. Not this church, not the local church. Now listen, you'll have to be a part of the body, amen. But I'm saying this, you'll not get there through amazing grace. And my boys will not get there by being sextons. You won't get there, thank God, by being in the South or from Fentress County. Or the fact that you knew Harold Slavin or Billy Mitchell or anybody else. If you go to heaven, you'll go to heaven because you know the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And not just know about Him, thank God. I'm talking about you'll know Him, amen. Oh, listen, friend, I'm saying this to you tonight. It's a mighty good verse. I'm glad that Paul saw fit through the Holy Ghost. I'd have pinned that one down for us. That's pretty good, ain't it? And now listen, the further I get, the happier I get. Y'all just hang tight. This is a long verse, amen. It's several verses, but I'm going to read them all nonetheless. Here the Bible says this in the book of Hebrews 9, verse number 11 said, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death and for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I thank God His priesthood has stood the test of time. Aaron's priesthood failed. The Kohathites failed. The Gershonites failed. The Merarites failed. Christ succeeded. Amen. I mean, thank God for it. Everything they ever had to offer. I thought about Abel and his lamb. That was a pretty good one, but my lamb's better. I'm glad that Aaron was a good high priest, but my high priest is better. Amen. I'm glad that the tabernacle was good, but heaven is better. Amen. I mean, listen, where we're standing right now, I thank God we don't bow down to the Vatican, and we're not worried about that kind of pope and that kind of priest. He can pronounce whatever he wants, and it's a lie from hell. Amen. He does not have any special knowledge, but I'm telling you, we have a great high priest, and one that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and we can approach day and night, unlimited amount of times. He has access to all the power there is. Help us where we're at. There's nobody like Him, amen. He stood the test of time. He's still a pretty good high priest, ain't he? Amen. I don't know. Listen out here. This right here is probably one of my favorites. Of my favorites. Amen. How's that? That work right there. It's Psalms 124, verse number 1. If it had not been for the Lord. Amen. Hey, boy, that's a good name. Amen. I thought about this. I thought about thank God where we stand at. I mean, it's real good for His protection and His provision on our life. I don't know where you're at, friend, 2025. If it had not been for the Lord, it's untelling where we'd be at tonight, ain't it? Amen. We could all be in jail together right now. Amen. If it hadn't been for the Lord, it's untelling what kind of shape we'd be in. I'm sure everybody under the sound of my voice, every decision you made in 2025, it was a grand decision. Amen. And they were all real good. And they've all been real. They all turned out right. But I'm saying this, friend. If it was not for the grace of God and the fact that we can get the Lord and come and approach God who is on our side, and we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? Amen. And so listen, I just get to thinking. Every time, and I can't help but think about that. But every time we walk, when we walked out, that feller's, and that lady said that you know, feller's not allowed there. I couldn't help but think, man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, my mom might answer the door. And somebody might go knock on her door sometime and say, hey, we come to visit Kevin. And my mom might have said, he's not allowed here no more. And now listen, friend, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that could be every one of us in this room. I mean, every last one of us. And so where I stand at, one of the best verses in the Bible is, if it had not been the Lord. Amen. And then you say, preacher, not me. I'm a pretty good fella. Well, pretty good people die and go to hell. So you do with that whatever you want to. Amen. I mean, they're pretty good neighbors, pretty good men, pretty good ladies. And they're pretty good morally. But being pretty good morally will not get you to heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, it takes the grace of an almighty God. And if it hadn't been for His good grace, it's untelling where you'd be at right now. I mean, let's, some of us ought to shout on credit. We ought to stop and look back and say, and not only could I have made bad decisions, I did make bad decisions, and the grace of God helped me anyhow. Amen. Ain't that right? I'm sure, listen, I don't know, maybe I've just preached to me right there. I mean, I've made so many poor decisions in my life, and I just about can't hardly tell you about them. Hey, but friend, here's what I found out. I found out just what the Bible said, that the grace of God is greater than all my sin. Amen. I have found that grace, and that is true. Amen. When He's standing over here at that little microphone and He says, grace, grace, amen, and God's grace, thank God, and grace that'll pardon and cleanse within, and grace, grace, and God's grace, and grace that's greater than all my sin. I thank God I can stand tonight and still standing, amen, and still standing the test of time, and no matter the wiles that's came and the battles that we face, and we're standing because what we're standing on has stood this test of time. Amen. Oh yes, thank God. I like this one pretty good right here. This is one of them, it's got a little fire on it. But He said, as soon as they were come to land, they saw fire of coals there and fish laid on there and bread. That's John 21. You know why I like that verse so good, Brother Bill? I mean, listen, that don't seem like that's too much. He's a fire, he's some coals, and there's fish. I said, why would you like that verse? I like the scenery of that verse. I like the fact that there's a little backslid, and there's a little backslidden apostle who said, I'm going to go fishing, and he feels like God's done with him, and he feels like he's failed, and he feels like there's no hope beyond that. And then while he's standing on the boat that day, a naked friend, and we find that all of a sudden there's some coals on the other shore, and there's a little disciple by the name of John. He said, it's the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord, thank God. And now listen, this will help you in your study. But John's always the looker, and Peter's always the doer. Amen. And John always sees it first, and Peter always jumps right in. And so here we find that John, he said, Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter said, boys, you can't row fast enough. And so he girts a coat on and a man overboard. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, next thing I know, you wrap his mind around this, do whatever you want to with it. And the Lord said, bring hither the fishes that you caught. And the last time I checked, the Bible says 153 great fishes. Amen. And we ain't talking about your little bluegill. Amen. And we're talking about, probably tilapia. Have somewhere in the neighborhood 10, 20 pound a piece. This man's tugging up on the shore. And listen, I'm talking about a bunch of weight. Amen. A thousand. Here he comes. I mean, listen, pulling that thing up on shore. Where'd he get that from? Amen. And when he got there, instead of finding the Lord beating him over the head, instead of the Lord kicking him out of the disciples, instead of the Lord being done with him, he looks down at him in that precious scene and he says, Peter, do you love me? Amen. He said, do you love me? Amen. And you know what he said. Listen. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. He said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, oh, Lord, yes, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And then the Lord asked him one more time. And I know there's a lot of folks that, I think there's part of that that's true. I think part of it, he asked him three times because he denied him three. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you this. I think he asked him three times to get that thing settled in his heart too. He said, Peter, do you love me? Love me and more than these. Amen. He is a quantifying it. He said, you love me more than the rest of this stuff. Amen. And he said, finally, he said, oh, Lord, thou knowest. Amen. And boy, what a blessing. Thank God. And just come to realization that the God of heaven knows you better than you know yourself. But old Peter just said, Lord, I don't even know. He said, but you know. Amen. And thank God. He said, Peter, go feed them. I'm telling you, what a blessing. He said, Peter, follow me. I'm saying this to you, friend. It is a mighty big blessing when you get that scene in your mind and that there's a fallen man who's led folks astray. And instead of God being done with him, he's prepared him a meal on the other shore to intercede for him. Amen. That's a pretty good deal. Amen. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. I don't care who you are. Amen. Yes, I mean, listen, thank God. I don't even know where the Lord got his fish at. Amen. He had his own fish. He didn't even need Peter's supply. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord just keeps on. And you say, Brother Kevin, I don't know if the Lord will help me. I'll promise you this. While you're on this shore, he's on the other shore making provisions. And all you got to do is come to him. Amen. And you ain't got to jump in the water. You just got to come by faith. Faith will get you there faster anyhow. Amen. And so let me move on. Thank God. I could literally preach right there all night long and be happy. Amen. How about this? One of my favorite ones too, right here. How the Bible says this. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their wives, their little ones, their wives, and their children. I want to say this. The people of God have stood the test of time. Amen. And now, Brother Savage, I know, listen. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you ain't got no faults. How about from where you're sitting at, I got 1,000 of them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. You do with it whatever you want to. I'd rather stand with the people of God than anybody else I know. Amen. Have faults and everything. Have mess ups and everything. I have found the people of God how to be better people than anybody ever has been. Amen. Oh, they got right there and they said, hey, man, listen, he's standing there. They don't know what in the world to do. There's a battle facing them. And it says that the husbands just stood with their wives and their children and their little ones. And they all just got their eyes set on heaven. And they said, Lord, we got no mind against this company. And neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And I thought, listen, what a beautiful scene. I love to see families together. And I'm talking about, listen, now look up here, neighbor. I'm not talking about your flesh and blood family. But I mean, I like that too. Thank God for it. Amen. But I'm going to say this. I swear I'm glad for the family of God. I'm glad for this. I'm glad that, friend, thank God you can choose to be a part of a different assembly. How about you're a part of this one? Amen. And here we stand with all of our mistakes and everything that could be wrong in our life. But the people of God I have found to be more gracious than anybody ever. I know there's some and they're little, you know, they're a little off. Amen. I was thinking about this the other day. This is a side note. I better move on. I better stay with the big note, amen. I better not get on them side notes tonight. I better stay right where I'm at. I'm simply saying this. I thank God for everybody. They can talk about the people of God all they want to. And they can say, man, that fellow down there is a hypocrite. That fellow down there is wrong. And that lady down there is messed up. But what I have found is they are worth more than their weight in gold, amen. I found them to be good to me, amen. And I've been around too many of them, thank God, that's been good to other people. I mean, listen, I understand. I'm a Huey Hines fan. Don't come talk to me about the people of God. Hey, man, you might get five above the lip. Hey, man, that's how I feel about that. I mean, listen, friend, I'm saying the people of God are precious. Amen. I wouldn't let you talk about my bride, and you probably ain't going to talk about the folks I go to church with either. Amen. I mean, listen, I understand. I want to be happy. Amen. But leave the church alone, thank God. Say she's got a bunch of faults. You got a bunch of faults. Amen. Thank God. The church don't. I can assure you the Bible says when he presents it to himself, it'll be without wrinkle, without blemish, amen. It'll be unspotted. When God sees the church, he sees the whole thing. Actually, listen, that just goes with Luke chapter number 7. Whenever it talks about being in the house of Bethany, and to that little old woman that they said, don't they know that she's a sinner? And she just went and broke her little alabaster box and poured it on his head and started kissing his feet. That's another scene in the Bible I love awful good. Everybody says that right there didn't deserve to worship. Listen, she wasn't even a believer. But she showed up and she said, I believe I'll worship anyhow. And God said, I'll take it. Amen. He said, I'll take it, thank God. Oh, Simon said, listen, if this man knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him, amen. And the Lord, knowing Simon's thoughts, said, Simon, let me ask you a question. He said, if a fella had all this debt and he was forgiven, he said, which one of them would love the most, the person who had a little debt or the person who had a lot? He said, I suppose the one who had the most. He said, that's right. He said, you know, when I got here, he said, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me no kisses. Hey, you didn't anoint my head. But since I've been here, this woman right here, which was a sinner, has not stopped. Amen. That's a precious scene. You know what bothers me about that? Simon ought to known enough to worship. And he wasn't much interested in it. Yeah. And this little old woman here that nobody wanted to worship. Yeah. Old Simon sat like the Baptists do. I don't know why they're getting so loud.
Yeah.
I don't know why they got to say that. I done heard that 100 times. Yeah. Same reason we sing the same songs, yeah. Praise God, because they're good. Amen. Yeah. Hey. Amen, thank God. Same reason we preach out of the same favorite scripture, because it's still good, amen. Standing the test of time. Listen, you'd be surprised. I thought that probably every one of these would be the same over the last 3 years. I didn't find but one that was. I think, listen, right here is a good one. I'm moving on, but I'm getting to my best one. Y'all hang tight. I got two more. Can y'all hang through two more? I might make up some right here and go through about 5 more. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Right.
He said, whom shall I fear? Yeah. The Lord is the light of my life.
Yeah.
Whom shall I be afraid? I'm going to tell you this, friend. You start thinking about the Lord, his protection, it stood the test of time.
Yeah.
You better be careful touching God's anointed. He'll take care of God's people. He said, he that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of his eye. He ain't forgot that. He ain't forgot. Listen, I don't know. I will side note right here. I used to wonder how in the world that America would ever turn its back on God. We got more anti-Semites running around America today than we ever have had. In the house of God. Jew haters. How are you going to be a Jew hater at the same time that your Messiah was a Jew? That's ignorant. Let me run that by you again. That's ignorant. That's dumb. That's dumb. Amen. I love the Jews and so does God. Every last one of them, amen. He ain't changed his mind about it. That's still the apple of his eye. Listen, don't nobody get nervous, but y'all understand that Israel is the bride of God the Father. And he's not taking another bride. And the Gentile church, we're the bride of Christ. Hey, listen, thank God we belong to Christ. Israel belongs to God. And one day he's going to take the two sticks and make them one. Amen. This is my favorite one. Kelsey, I'm done. After this one. Kelsey handed these to me. And I was reading through them. Now listen, this might not help you. This is what I do with my favorite verses. I set them there on my bathroom. And Lisa, when I'm having a rough day, I just flip from one to the next one. And if that one don't do it, Lola, I just go to the next one. Amen. And I go to the next one. And 3 years worth of favorite verses, one of them's going to ring a bell with me.
Amen.
One of them's going to get to helping me.
One's going to help.
And this verse helps me. But this card helps me too. This is the verse. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him.
Yeah.
What a verse.
Yeah.
He said that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, then we know.
Right.
We have the petitions we desired of him.
Yeah.
What a verse. I've shared this with you, but probably, Hannah, the reason that verse is so sweet to my soul is the devil just about had me convinced that I'd mishandled Evan and Owen to the point that Evan would never get saved. And if you'll look on this thing right here, you can't see it, but I can. And it ain't for you. It's for me. But in the background, that water droplet on the back of this thing, it's a picture of me, my wife, and Evan praying right there.
Yep.
Amen.
Where the Lord reminded me, you don't ever have to worry about having confidence in me. And I thought about how the promises of God have stood the test of time. 7,487 promises. And God's never backed up on one of them. He's not never forgot them. He's never needed help making them happen. We can have confidence that everything he said, he'll do just what he said. That's just a few of my favorite things. Help me stand this year. Here we stand in 2025. Say, preacher, how'd we make it? We're standing on things that have stood the test of time. And if next year happens and we see the end of next year, these verses right here will be the same verses that'll still be standing the test of time next year. But I want to have a faith. I want to leave behind a record. I don't want a legacy. Now, I've told this before, and the Lord reminded me of it. And I told the Lord I didn't want to back up from what I said. I was praying the other night, too. I was praying to the Lord, Ricky. And I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord reminded me about standing in this church and saying one time, if the Lord ever saw that I was going to make shipwreck, I wish he'd go ahead and kill me before it happened. And I was praying about that, Lisa. And I said, Lord, you ain't backed up from your word, and I ain't backed up from mine. I hope if you ever see that I'd get ready to make shipwreck, I wish you'd go ahead and kill me. Just move me out of the way before you let me let down so many that have had such confidence in your name. The Lord just reminded me one more time that his grace ain't never let the first saint down. Amen. His grace was sufficient then. It's sufficient today. And listen, you might get in a low spot. Hey, might be a time or two we ain't running laps. But the Bible said, having done all, just stand. I don't know. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. I don't know how to not find you. Maybe you've been in a good way. Maybe you've been making laps. Maybe you've made headway. I'd say this, and I'm not trying to. I know what the Lord's done in some folks' life this year. Mary had sent me a letter, and I'm gonna say that. Mary said she felt like she'd grown more this year than she'd ever grown in the Lord. And I said, amen. I've seen it. I've watched it happen.
And there's been times, Rick, that it's looked like, I mean, I've made some growth spurts. And there's been other times I feel like it's been stunted. But I'm glad at the end of this thing I'm still standing. And by the good grace of God, preacher, we'll keep on standing. Amen. She sings some song.